about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes and no.
For your mighty Holy Spirit in this place. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, through whom we can have redemption. Thank you that he did not leave us forsaken, but he sent us your Holy Spirit of promise. This morning, by the same Holy Spirit, we stand here to minister to you, Lord. Be the subject and object of all we do here. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to us. I bind every force of Satan, and I declare that your word will have free course to bring deliverance, salvation, healing, wisdom, direction to your people. Bring strength and love in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Give three people a high five and tell them it's a blessing to be in church. Wow. Please be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank God Almighty for the gift of life. I've been on the road, on the plane, and it's good to be back home. Tell somebody it's good to see you. It's good to see you. I bring you greetings from our bishop and our father, Prophet Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Amen. I personally had interactions with him, and any time that I get to interact with that man of God, great man of God, there's always an impartation. I look forward to the manifestations of that impartation. Amen. So I was there with for Mountain of the Lord for First Love Church. Amen. I'm happy to say that though I'm QFC, I'm also First Love. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Official. Lady Pastor and I, official First Crossovers by God's grace. Amen. And it's a blessing. I think that I am very happy to work with both the young and the younger. Not so young. You know, so I thank God that we have both in here. You know, for those of you who don't know, after service, there's another service that comes on, and that is typically made up of college students and people, young youth that are, you know, beyond the teenage. It's not a teenage thing, but beyond the teenage. So anybody who is in that age range between 20 and, you know, 99, if you feel 20, you can come. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But it's a beautiful thing for young people to be serving the Lord. We have thousands of young people zealous to serve the Lord, coming to camp in a place, traveling all over. From UK alone, more than 400 young people, college students, who could have been on drugs, who could have been, you know, some, I've seen parents who have been slapped by kids. But these are kids who honor their parents, and they are blessed. They've been taught, you know, somebody should usher my bodyguard. Wow. Martin, it's good to see you. I miss you, man. Don't keep too long anymore. Hey, man. Now, it was a beautiful thing. And so when I look at the young people, look, all these people, you see playing keyboards, see they're over there carrying chairs and things like that. They could have been smoking all kinds of things, drinking, and then they arrive. Say, God forbid. They arrive, and when he carries a chair like that, we're afraid because he can strike anybody. You know, but it's not like that. They stay home. They stay on their school. I mean, that's a blessing. And that's why I really thank God for even the Vacation Bible School, where the young people came together. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Where we see some of these young people who are ministering in the house of the Lord at this age. using the zeal. Bible says, don't let us despise their youth, but there will be examples in charity and in good things, in word, in charity, and in all the righteousness and all these things. There will be examples. And so pray for the young people. Pray for the young people. Many of us who are not so young have made mistakes already. Please. You know, I mean, it's not a good thing to see them making mistakes like we did. May they do better than we did in Jesus' name. So I'm really excited. I went for Mountain of the Lord, come for First Love. And after that, what we call Give Thyself Holy. But God willing, next week, we are going for what we call Agabapto Fest. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, in our church, once in a year, we have what we call Agabapto Fest. It's a combination word for agape, baptism, and festival. Agape, baptism, and festival. So we call it Agabapto Fest. Agape means love. So it's a festival of love. So I'm inviting all of you, unless you are a hater. All lovers are invited. If you don't come, you are not a lover. Clap for the Lord. It's on Saturday at 11 o'clock at Fuller's Park. Is that Fuller Park? Yeah. It's right here. It's not this time. We're not going 1 hour away, 1.5 hours away. Right here in Memphis, Fuller Park. We're going to have the festival full of fun, full of food, full of, you know, grilled meat of every kind. You want frog, you can get frog legs, frog thighs. You want chicken legs, chicken neck, pork, you know, heated dog. I mean, hot dogs. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Now, it's going to be beautiful by the grace of God. You know, it's a love feast. Every year, you see, Jesus Christ said that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one to another. Not even for two. So I'm expecting you that you bring food so that you give the food to, and then you take somebody's food. Brother, I hear you cook very well. So I'm expecting some food. Amen. So this is a feast where we all bring food. You know, it's at 11 o'clock till we decide we're tired. Amen. Agape festival, love feast. You know, many of us, you don't know each other. You know, Akwi, what's the name of this beautiful lady sitting here? Do you know her name?
No.
Oh, unfortunately. Do you know her name? Do you know the name of this gentleman? But this is what I'm talking about. So many of us, you do not know the people you're sitting with. But there are some great people you meet in heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So by this, Bible says by this, John chapter 13 and verse 34, 35. By this, Jesus said, only one commandment I leave you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one to another. Amen. And so all this, that immediately you finish, I mean, all we see is hi is the first thing we hear. The next thing is bye, you are out. You don't talk to anybody. You're like an island. That's not how a church should be. Amen. That's not how heaven will be. Amen. Bible says in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, for we are one in Christ. Psalm 68 and verse 6. Amen. Psalm 68 and verse 6. Bible says, God has put the solitary into family. If you come to church and you remain solitary, then you haven't found a family. Otherwise, you'll leave the church. But I don't recommend, because I'm telling you the correction, because you yourself, you don't talk to people. So if you leave the church, it means that you're going to spread that problem in another church. I'm training you not to leave the church. God puts the lonely, clap. If you are clapping, clap properly. Clap properly. So God places the lonely in families. How many have been lonely before? I have definitely been. I came here not knowing even one person. One person. I didn't know where to buy kebab, where to buy groceries, where to buy anything. Yeah, somebody gave me the phone number for Patricia. Where is she? She behaved as if she didn't know me. I was very lonely. Thank God for Casey. Where is she? She met me at the first church member. She introduced her boyfriend or her beloved, And then gradually the church grew. I know beautiful people like you. Look at you. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. Tell somebody, pastor knows you. Pastor knows you. Amen. So he has put the lonely in families. And Bible says he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy when he gives you a church. Some of you have bondage. He's giving you joy. Yeah, some of you, your job, your next big job is in one member in this church. Amen. You better find him and be nice to that person. Amen. Some of you, even your husband is sitting here. You just don't know. But through such interaction, we get to form bonds of love. Somebody say, Agape Festival. Agape. It means unconditional love. I don't need to know you anywhere. I don't need to know what job you do. I just like you for who you are. Yeah. Yeah. Mr. McClinton, you know I like you very much. You're a very nice person. Yeah. Mr. Nyako, I really like you. Especially when you sit directly ahead of me like that. And when you have a nice, beautiful lady sitting by you, especially. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Rashad, I really like you. Especially when you grow your beard nicely. Amen. Now, he sets prisoners. But Bible says he makes the rebellious live. In fact, give me the King James. It's even better. He makes the rebellious live in, remake the rebellious dwell in dry land. He said, if you're not going to be somebody who likes family, you will live in a dry land. You will have nothing. You will live in an island. Yeah, an island, you see, it's just secluded. Only water is around. Sea. No connection with anything. Isolated. Lonely, depressing, no food, nothing, no connections. So this church, we're not like that. Amen. We're very nice people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. We like to have fun. We like to jump. We like to eat. We like to drink. Yeah. We like to play games. So we're going to bring games, volleyball, basketball. Only that, I don't know why, but every game that I join, I win. Scrabble, even with a champion. He can't beat you. He's supposed to be the champion. Amen. So there are going to be games and things. So I want all of you to bring games, your favorite games. Even video games, we can connect you. Bring games. Bring basketball. Bring table tennis. Ping pong. Volleyball. Any game in your house, bring. Unless we will play. Yeah. Cards. I mean, board games, card games, field games. We will find a way. Amen. So we like to do such things and then bring food. If you don't have food, still come. You will eat till we will feed you till you are fed up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's at 11 o'clock at Fuller Park. Please put there. Tell someone, what a church. We like everybody to feel comfortable. Yes. Bible says in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Yeah, you should feel free, feel comfortable, not tensed up and all that. Yeah, you don't have to wear tie, don't have to wear jacket, you just be yourself, just dress, just cover the important parts. Make sure that we don't see that one too, we'll talk about it. Amen. So it's very important, the address will come up. So it's Agabapto first. Agape means the love aspect. Then we have the second part, which is the baptism, Bapto. Bapto. That is a time that we have our massive baptism. Amen. Water baptism. And we're not going to pond you. We're not going to splash you with water. We're going to actually immerse you in water. Clap for the Lord. There's no sprinkling or anything like that. It's not a gun water type of thing. So it's a spiritual event that is also important. In the context of love, we have the water baptism. You know, massive water baptism. For all, many of you, this year, by the grace of God, through outreaches, God has given you, through this church, an ability to be saved. The next thing is water baptism, which many of you who have even had it didn't understand. Okay, so it's a festival where we have love and baptism. What a combination. Amen. Now, so I think you all understand love. Love is a universal language, so I will not explain love. I'm going to explain the baptism. Is that okay? So today I want to talk about water baptism. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because many of you sitting here needs to actually baptize, be water baptized. Otherwise, you have left out an essential aspect of your Christianity, of your salvation. As I am listening, don't tell yourself, as I'm speaking, don't tell yourself, I've been baptized already. I have been baptized 3 times. The reason is I didn't understand. The first one was by sprinkling, which was wrong. I didn't know. The second one, I did it because he asked me to do it. I didn't understand. The third one, I understood and I requested it. Yes. And I'll explain why I did the third one, because one aspect of my body stuck out. I won't tell you which part, but what you are thinking is not what it is. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. One part of my arm and shoulder stuck out, and I didn't know whether this is the stealing hand. So if it doesn't go underwater, it might be a problem. So today I want to explain to you about water baptism. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to read a passage where Jesus Christ himself was baptized in water. And then I'll explain. Okay, I'll explain. Now, first of all, let me explain something to you about the spiritual significance of water baptism. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these are one. And there is also three that bear record on this land, on this earth. And it's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They bear record on this earth. Okay? And they agree in principle as one. So in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Spirit agree in one. The Trinity is a heavenly agreement. Okay? The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they came together, agreed, and formed this earth. Now, when it comes to what best record, what best witness of your Christianity right here on this earth, there are three that bear record, that bear witness, that if you do not associate with that, you will not have Christianity, you will not have a salvation. They are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the blood. Now, in Christendom, there are what we call ordinances or sacraments. The Catholics call it sacrament. Okay? Now, these three that bear record, if you look at it closely, the Spirit is what we call the bear record. On this earth, when Christ came and the salvation came to us through his blood, he went away and he said, as evidence that I did not just come and play tricks on you, I'm not just some crazy guy who said I'm going to die and wake up. I'm going to resurrect. In fact, even the soldiers said they came to steal the body away. There were rumors. Said it's going to prove it. He said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And it will show you that I've reached the Father. Because until I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. So one thing, that best record of the validity or the... Yeah, of your salvation is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. If Christ indeed died like Muhammad and like all, then our salvation is useless. We are most to be pitied. But he actually rose, went to the Father, confirmed that the job is finished, and God sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a witness of your salvation if you have the Holy Spirit. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's why Holy Spirit baptism is one of the most important things in life. If you claim to be saved without the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, your salvation is not done. It's not done. Even Jesus told the disciples, wait, don't start your Christianity. It's not over just because I resurrected, but my resurrection is supposed to be the key to open for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't go and start your Christian life. You're not equipped. He said, go and wait for the promise of the Spirit, which you have heard from me, that's coming from the Father. And in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came, and they were all anointed with fresh oil. Fire came upon them, and their Christianity started. Somebody like Peter, who was always afraid, even of little maid servants. Oh, you are one of Jesus' disciples. I said, no, I am not. When the Holy Spirit came, he was bold enough to declare, yes, I am not only associated with Jesus, but I'm preaching Jesus Christ. He was bold, the same person filled with the Holy Spirit because the witness had come. So that is one. And the blood. So the Holy Spirit baptism is an important thing. And everybody in this church must undergo the Holy Ghost baptism, amen, which is manifested by speaking in tongues, amen, and the gift of the Spirit. I will have time for every one of you by the grace of God. We started before I left. So that's important because they are the record that you are born again. It's not just saying I'm born again. One is the Holy Spirit baptism. Two is the water baptism. If you have not been baptized in water properly, you are not complete. Yes. And the third is the blood. That's why we take communion. Communion. One of the things that happened when they pierced the side of Jesus Christ, when they came and they saw that they were dead, they broke the legs of the thieves, and then Jesus was dead already, so they didn't break his leg, but they put a spear, and water and blood came. He was dead. Proof. Proof. The next proof was the Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are three sacraments, Christian sacraments. Communion, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. Every real Christian must make sure that you have those. Because that's on this earth, before you get to heaven, that's what bears record. Put your hands together for Jesus. But this morning, I want us to talk about the spiritual significance of water baptism. Water baptism. First of all, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo, which means to immerse, which means to dip deep, which means to submerge, which means to soak deeply. Okay? So if you've had water baptism by sprinkling, I'm sorry, you have not been water baptized. Because that's not water baptism. By sprinkling, it's not water baptism. The word is to immerse. The word is to dip. To submerge. Amen. To soak deeply. So that's a word. All right, so water baptism is the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. If anybody is here who's been baptized as I was by sprinkling or as a baby, please, you will understand that you need to do it properly. Amen. Now, let's look at Jesus Christ, how he did it and how others did it so we can understand from there. Okay, so what is baptism? What is baptism? Is the word Greek word baptizo. What is it? In demonstration, we can find that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, where Jesus himself got water baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Anybody who has a good Bible and you click on the word baptize, you see baptizo, to immerse, to submerge, to dip, to soak deeply. Please, that's what water baptism is. Until you've done that, you have not really been water baptized. And you see that you're deficient, as we explain. Then, Bible says, Jesus himself came from Galilee to John the Baptist at the Jordan to be baptized by him. By the way, when I went to Israel, I got baptized in the River Jordan, where Jesus was baptized. Tell somebody, I shall be there. I shall be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. Tell somebody, I'll be there one day in Jesus' name. We'll organize a trip, I believe, by the grace of God. Yeah. I even brought some of the water from the Jordan. This morning, my wife was asking me, what is this? I said, this is water from the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized. You know, I brought it in case you want to touch some water from Jordan. In case you don't get to go, at least you touch some water. If it means something, it will bless you. Amen. Remind me, I'll give you a little drop of it so that you can also say, you know, I made contact. Now, and John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and you are coming for me to be baptizing you? Then verse 15, keep going, please. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and then look at how it was done. Verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up, in fact, give me the King James, out and up from the water. You see that? When he had been baptized, Jesus came up. Look at this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. That means he was what? In the water. And he was down. He went up and out. It means he was down or down and in. He came up from the water. He must have been down to have come up. And not only, you see, for you, they could have said just out if he was just walking. But he came up and then had to walk out. He must have been down, submerged. He came up and walked out. That is one of the reasons you must know that the Greek word baptizo, to immerse, to dip, to submerge, is real. Because Jesus himself was dipped and submerged because he was down so much that he had to come up out of the water. Amen. So he came up and out, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And then verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Ladies and gentlemen, this tells you how spiritual water baptism is. Jesus himself did it. And when Jesus did it, that is when there was a convergence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the only places where they converge together in the Bible. This is one of the only places where they come. God the Father spoke. God the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove. And God the Son was glorified, was right there. They converged. Because that is a very significant aspect of your life, your spiritual life. That is where there's confirmation of the three. You want a place where the Trinity love to abide, love to be. Watch the water baptism place. That's how significantly spiritual it is. Yes, that is where the confirmation, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, was stated at the time of water baptism. Could it be that that will be your breakthrough? That will be the day that your Christianity will actually take the right course. Could it be that is when God will confirm you as in Christ? When I heard this, I said, Jesus did it this way. I'm going to do it this way. Immediately, I changed course. I had been sprinkled upon. I didn't understand anything. I had been told to go because others were doing. So I went and, you know, I didn't swim. So I was holding my nose as we were going. So my nose, my arm, my shoulder, they stuck out. And when I explain to you what it means to be baptized in water, you will understand why it was not a good thing. That day was not a good day for me. Okay, so Jesus was baptized. So it's a highly spiritual sacrament. That's a very important thing to do. Amen. Now, another example which I want to show with you is the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 from verse 26. The Bible says, Acts chapter 8 verse 26. The Bible says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south and to the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Now, watch this. God is sending somebody to make sure that a person who is praying will have water baptism. Somebody has been praying here because of which we have organized this thing. Amen. And your prayer is about to be answered in Jesus' name. So important is that prayer that God sent an angel. And Bible says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, and the Candace queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship God. He had come to worship God. God must have been very happy with this man and sent an angel. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah, the prophet, reading the Bible, the Torah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near to this man, join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and say, understandest thou what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. See, this should be your desire. Both the eunuch and Jesus were eager. They came. Please. please baptize me. Please teach me. Please explain some scriptures to me. Please show me how to read the Bible. This should be the attitude of real Christians. Yeah. The eagerness is an important thing. As we are planning for this Saturday for water baptism, your eagerness should rise to the highest level. Yeah. That I'm about to be introduced to a highly spiritual thing that Jesus himself did. That God himself sent angels to make sure it is done. So if God has sent your pastor to talk about it, you better sit up because it's your time. It's your season. It's your time. Yes. And the scripture was he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. Go on, please. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare to his generation? For the life is taken from the earth. Next, verse 34. He was reading the passage. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom was he speaking? That the prophet speaking about, of himself or some other man. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. That's the thing I like about Philip. He preaches Christ. The Bible says he went to Samaria and he preached Christ. I think in verse 12. And here too, he preached Jesus. Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ in verse 12. And there was miracles. And here he preached Jesus. And look at what happened. This is Philip. This is quintessential Philip. Typical. That's what a preacher should do. Preach about Christ. Then verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Somebody say a certain water. Certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What prevents me from being baptized? What's stopping me? Man, you're looking handsome, bro. Then verse. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing prevents you, only your faith. I'll tell you the things that qualify you. You don't need to have gone through a fasting and prayer before. Your faith. How many don't believe in Jesus Christ at all here in this place? Well, if you believe, then you qualify. Yeah. If you believe with all your heart, not with part of your heart, not with only your financial heart, yeah, with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank you. So you need to, that's what new birth is about, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into, you see that? They went down and in again. Come on now. They had to go down and into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And watch here in verse 39. When they were come up and out of the water, here again, it's up and out. They must have been down and in. Inside the water. Came up out of the water. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't just bring a cup and sprinkle you and say you are baptized. You're wrong. That's not water baptism. You have to be able to get up and in. What's it called? Up and out after you have been baptized. You should be able to come up and walk out. That is then we're talking about baptism. Even if we have a bowl of water, it's something that you can go down and in so that you can come up and out. Up and step out. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is baptism? I'm defining what water baptism is. Yeah, and Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord again came around. Wow. Anytime there is proper water baptism, the Spirit of the Lord makes a confirmation. Now, do you realize that the only commonality between the witnesses in heaven and on earth is the Spirit? The Spirit of God both is a witness in heaven and is a witness on earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit bear record in heaven. Then the Spirit, the water, and the blood bear record on earth. So every time these things happen, that has a spiritual connection, the Holy Spirit comes there. Because he's a commonality. Oh, yeah. So I am looking forward to a spiritual experience the coming Saturday in Jesus' name. Those of you who have not seen a miracle from heaven, this will be your time. This will be your time. The greatest miracle that ever happened in your Christian life. Yes. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Miracle. That the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Clap again for the Lord Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is water baptism. It's by immersion, by submersion, by dipping, deep soaking. You have to come up and out. Jesus did it. The Ethiopian eunuch who loved the Lord did it. There are many more examples, but for time, I will not. The disciples were baptized, you know. In Acts chapter 19, there was baptism. In a number of places in Acts chapter 8 as well, there was baptism. Even Paul, in Acts chapter 9, he had to be baptized. You see, after Ananias saw him, he had to baptize Paul. But, you know, all that is there. I'm sure that I can give you the note. But I think because of time, let me explain the significance. Spiritual significance of water baptism. Now, water baptism is an important integral component of your salvation. It's integrated in your part. It's part of your salvation. It's an integral component, very important, of your salvation. When something is integral and it's important in whatever, it means that without it, it's not complete. It's not. Now, let me start by telling you why I say that. Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18 to 20. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, verse 19. And he said, go ye, King James, New King James. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples. Some versions say teach. Make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go on, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, he says that go into the world and make disciples. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How do we make disciples? Number one, through teaching. Soul winning is not complete without baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, the word disciple, Jesus Christ was discipling. Jesus was John the Baptist's disciple. Yes. It is only a disciple that baptizes you. I mean, if you are a disciple. Now, the word disciple is a follower. It's somebody who, it comes also the word discipline. Yeah. That guides you. That sometimes pushes you. Discipling you means teaching you what to do, telling you what to do, guiding you. He says that they will teach you and command you everything that I've commanded you. Teach them. Yeah. Jesus is expecting that Christians will be his disciples, and Christians will make disciples that will follow them as they follow Jesus. Paul was one person like that. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Follow me as I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the master disciple-making minister for all of us. But he expects that every Christian whom he has discipled will in turn disciple other Christians. Yes, Paul followed the footsteps, says Jesus Christ is my disciple-making. He taught me. Because Paul was directly won over by Christ. Nobody is directly won over by Jesus Christ. It's a rare thing. God will always send somebody to you
that person who speaks to you is making you a disciple. Jesus did not say we should go into the world and make members out of unbelievers. We don't make church members, we make disciples. If you are here and you are not a disciple, you have not completed. Go into the world and make disciples, teaching, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all my commandments. That is how I'm going to be with you. I don't like calling you a church member. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ through me, by the grace of God. Or you are my disciple after I have been discipled by Jesus. Yeah. Bishop Doug Heward Mills is the chief shepherd. And I am your shepherd, Doug. So it's a relay. And you should have disciples. Yeah, you saw the play. He said, you were at the center, you were a member, you were in the choir, but you never had anybody, no disciple. Go ye into the Great Commission is to make disciples, not members. If you are a member, you are not a disciple, I'm not excited about you. Because there's no guarantee that you make it. Yeah. God is looking for disciples, not members. A church cannot save you, but discipleship will save you. If you indeed have been taught to observe all Christ's commandments, you've been baptized, you've done what disciples do, that is what cuts it, not your membership. Don't be deceived. When the rapture comes, it's disciples who will make it, not members. Yeah. A member can be a disciple. A disciple will be a member, but a member is not necessarily a disciple. A disciple, real disciples are real members of the church. But members of the church are not necessarily discipleship means following. Following the commands of Jesus Christ. Following the scriptures. We have been doing Bible challenge. Many of you have not even contributed one. That's not a disciple. That's a member. Please. I'm not saying it. Jesus is the one saying it. Please. If you are in the church and you are not a follower of the teachings of Christ, you are not. That's why after church, we have a class, a discipleship class, and you will do well to join some of them. They will answer all your questions. It will train you. It will equip you. It will set you on the road and keep you balanced. Look, we've been reading the book of Judges. Anytime that a leader died, they all went astray. And the only way God will restore them is to give them a leader. I have understood the power of leadership. I'm even afraid to go away from a leader. Don't be a member of the church when you don't have a direct connection with the leader. Wow. You don't have a shepherd. Wow. You are therefore not sheep. Wow. You don't have somebody who you can say is your... You are not a disciple. A disciple has a rabbi, a teacher, a leader. Jesus himself said, make disciples. Make disciples. Many of our churches are trying to make members, make numbers. In fact, it's worse if you are not a member, you are a number. Yeah, that's even worse. Because sometimes you are not a member of the church, but you add to the number from time to time. If you are a number, may you become a member from today in Jesus' name. If you are a member, may you become a disciple from today in Jesus' name. Look at Auntie Barbara, who is my mother, older than my mother, can give birth to me. I mean, Lisa is my baby sister, you know. So Lisa is older than I am. So obviously, Auntie Barbara can be my mother. But she had been given a diagnosis. She's sitting there. I give her a phone call. Mom, forget about the fact that I called you, Mom. Come, I'm expecting you next week. You're not staying there till the end of the month. Okay? Okay? Yes, Pastor. I was sitting here. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. I thought she was joking. She was here. And God ordered her steps, even gave her a free flight to come. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I am not trying to exercise authority. I'm trying to tell you what the scriptures say and what is going to benefit you. And he said, make disciples of all nations. This is an international church. By the way, International Sunday is coming up next month. Hallelujah. That's our most colorful, most beautiful event. We'll tell you about it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, if you do that, to the end of the age. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are baptized and you become a disciple, some churches have gone to the extent of saying that if you are not water baptized, you are not a member of the body of Christ. And I don't blame them. Because that's how Jesus defined it. They said, until you have been baptized, you cannot call yourself a member of the universal body of Christ. That's a scripture right there. He said, if you can make disciples, then they can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son. And number two, they can be taught. Taught. That's why if you don't go to the school, you are actually reducing your value. They can be taught all. To observe, not only taught, but to observe means to do. Obedient Christians are blessed Christians. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, baptism is a very, very important aspect of your Christianity. Very important aspect. And it says that it shows your commitment as a disciple. So when you baptize, you show your commitment to be a disciple and a member of the body of Christ. You actually now agree that I'm going to be taught regularly. Water baptism is a very important thing. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 is another powerful scripture. Mark chapter 16, from verse 15 and 16. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I didn't write it. When you believe and you are baptized, that's when your salvation is complete. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That is why some churches, immediately you believe, you come. The next thing is baptism. They are saying that in case Jesus is saying that combination of believing and baptizing is what, baptism is what gives you salvation, we can't let you out of here without water baptism because we don't know when you will die. So ideally, every church should have a baptismal bay. One day we'll have one in Jesus' name. We already have something in place that you will see by God's grace. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So he who believes, when you believe, the next thing is to think about water baptism. The day I heard this, I said, look, do it again. If it's that important, then do it again. Shall be saved. So it's part of your salvation. And he goes on to say that verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. And then in my name, they will cast out demons. So there's a certain power that comes when you follow these things that Jesus Christ has put there. There's a reason why Jesus himself was baptized. There's a reason why God sent an angel to make sure that the Ethiopian, you know, who was a good, great worshiper, was baptized. Even there was another man, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a man who would give alms and pray to God. So much, the Bible says, Cornelius, God said, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms has come to me as a memorial, a sweet memorial. It's like fragrance to me. Therefore, I've sent somebody to you. And he sent Peter. And then when Peter was preaching to them in Acts chapter 10, from verse 44, he preached, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon them. In verse 46, Acts 10, 46. Hallelujah. You know. In fact, from verse 44. He says, when Peter was still speaking these words, preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. Verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. And many who came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit have been poured. They were surprised that the Spirit has been poured upon Gentiles. Then verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. All those who say we are Baptists, so we don't speak in tongues, it's in the Bible. I'm not saying it. You sit down and say tongues is not existent. This is in the Bible, happening live. When preaching is going on, hands are laid, tongues are being spoken, and we say we won't speak in tongues. Please, let's believe the Bible, not just doctrines that are not confirmed in the Bible. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, look at this verse 7. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? He's saying that if the people have believed, the next thing is baptism. Let's do it. Let's do it. Nobody should stop this. Then verse 49. And he commanded them to be baptized, not even suggested, in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Baptism, water baptism, is that important? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It's that important. Yeah. Now, why? So this is the what. How to do, the what to do, what it means, how to do it. Why should we do it? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. From verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. Certainly not. God forbid. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Then verse 3. Or do you... Now, before I forget, do you realize that each of them, they needed to believe? They needed to believe and understand. I'll show you another part where they needed to believe and repent. You see that? What qualifies them? Now, can a baby believe? Can a baby be repentant? So we don't baptize babies. So when you are baptized as a baby, please, you need to do it again. I was baptized as a baby. That's why I did it again. You need to understand what you're doing. So we don't baptize babies. When the children were brought to Jesus, he blessed them. He didn't baptize them. He didn't baptize them. When John the Baptist was being outdoor, they didn't baptize him. They just presented him with his name. They did dedication. So we can do baby dedication for you, even if you're 52. Amen. Yeah, but you need to understand. Or do you know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now I'm coming to explain. What does it mean? Why do we baptize? What does it mean? What are we doing when we are baptizing? What is happening? You're baptized into his death. Then verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into his death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. Wow. Then verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in death and buried, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Go on, verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Therefore, you will not die anymore. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Clap again for Jesus. Now, what does all this mean? Bible says that we died together with him. When it says baptism, let's keep going. I'll show you to verse 14, 11. Likewise, you also reckon or perceive yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. Verse 13, and do not present your members or your bodies instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, alive, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I feel like reading the whole chapter. Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are under the law? We are not under the law, but under grace. Certainly not. Verse 16. Do you not know that those who present yourselves slaves, you present yourselves slaves, you obey? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves, to obey. You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, from verse 3, 4, and 5, what he's saying is this, that as you are baptized, you are, the other reason for baptism is to identify, it's called identification. You are identifying with the death of Christ, with the burial of Christ, and with the resurrection of Christ. As you're going down, the reason why we have to go deep in, completely submerged, no part showing, is that we identify, number one, with the death of the old self, death to sin, death to the old part. Jesus Christ actually had to die, take on our sin. He was buried. He went to hell. Everything. Now, the Holy Spirit had to resurrect Jesus. I think it's Romans 8:11. It says that if the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, then it will quicken your mortal bodies. Now, what is happening during water baptism is this. Christ died, and you cannot be saved until you can identify with his death. But then he's died, so you cannot go and be shot so that you will conform. So the symbolic spiritual importance of water baptism is that God, in his wisdom, says identify with it. It's that important. They who believe and are baptized, what is it about it that brings your salvation to be complete? Because when you actually agree to be baptized, you believe. The next thing is you repent. You repent of your sins. I refuse to walk in the old way. I am committed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and follow him and walk in his teachings. Water baptism is a commitment to die to the old self in line with Christ. You have to die, accept that I'm dead. I'm no longer identifying with the sins of my old nature. I'm giving up my old nature and then identify with the burial. Bible says, going down, crucified with him in burial. So as you go down, you actually, your old self is buried. So that when you come up too, you identify with his resurrection, the newness of life, his new life. You have a 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 new life. So it's not enough. Yes, confession is good. Believing is good. But now the demonstration and identity with what Jesus is doing. When you see, you remember. When you hear, you remember 40%. When you see, in addition, 60%. But when you do, it's 80%. Ladies and gentlemen, so when you go down, your old nature is buried like Christ. And as you come up, out, you are coming just like the resurrected Christ in the newness of life. Bible says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that water baptism is a highly spiritual thing. That is why we identify with the death, so that the old nature will go away. You make a commitment. Anybody who's been baptized, one of the things we ask you is, do you now commit to live the life of Christ, crucifying your old nature? Do you identify with the burial that not only has it been crucified, that from time to time you go and carry your body and use it a little, but you buried it through baptism? It's buried. Nobody goes to the cemetery and exhume a body so that I can go and kiss the body a little bit. No. So it's burial. And until you bury it, you cannot come out with the newness of life. Believe me, many of us Christians who are struggling to live the Christian life because we have not identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in a spiritual faith way. Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that I don't like girls. Or when I see ladies, they don't attract me. But my life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. My fleshly nature I've given up. If Christians can understand that and can make a commitment, God will give you a new spirit. You will have your resurrected new. Many people, you cannot give up the old life. You cannot make a commitment. Therefore, though you probably have said, I've given up the old life, you have not buried it. From time to time, you visit and you kiss the old nature. Therefore, you don't give God the opportunity to cause your resurrection to come. But if you can only give up, believe me, until Christ had accepted to die, accepted to go into the grave, the tomb, the Holy Spirit couldn't do anything. God had to look away. Jesus Christ was begging, Father, if it's possible, let this cup go away from me. He didn't want to die. So I understand you if you don't want to die. I understand you if you don't want to give up your old nature. But my brother, my sister, you can pray all you want. That habit will not go away. If you are not committed to bury the old nature, it will never go away. It will never go away. Make that commitment as a disciple. Bury that nature. Crucify the self. The day you make that commitment, the day you bury that old nature, you just say, I'm not going back. You may think that it's a self-will, but that's when your spirit, the spirit is given. That's when God will give you a hand. Now I can respond. Now my power can keep going. Kept by the power of God. That is how, until Jesus had accepted in humility to go to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, you are great, I can't. He said, no, do it. I need it. I must be humble to actually crucify this self and be buried in baptism. Until then, when he came up and out, that was when the Spirit showed up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I don't blame you. You're struggling. And sometimes you feel like, no, no, I cannot live this Christian life. Of course you can't. Of course I cannot. Of course Jesus could not have. But Jesus surrendered. He crucified the old self. He buried it through baptism. When he arose, then Jesus said, huh. Father said, huh. Now I can give you the Spirit. Bible says if you do that, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is allowed through baptism to operate in you, you'll be like a Superman. That's why you look at some Christians. How come you can do this and I can't? Because you have not buried the old nature. Because you have not crucified the old self. Because you have not identified with the death, the burial. How can you then want to identify with the resurrection? You can't live a new life without burying the old life. They don't match. They don't match. That is what baptism does. It gives you an opportunity to have spiritual help. Just help. So that is why I told myself, when I held the nose, my nose showed, I said, look, if the old nature is gone down, perhaps the arm is the thief part of me. Perhaps the nose is the one that sniffs people's money and steals. Something. I don't want to live with any part of the old nature. So I'm going to go again. This time I said, put me into the full, to the bottom, and until I'm completely lost. My old nature is buried completely. You can't see it. So that when I come up, not only will my half of my body, half of my life, but all of my life will be new. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's a spiritual thing. Buried together in baptism. Ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude by telling you this. That when Noah saved the people by the ark, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It was God's patience that was at work. Then he brought all of them. Only 8 people out of several went into the ark. And they went floating in the water. The Bible says, those of us who formerly were disobedient, when once we divine, once the divine long-suffering or patience waited, God waited in those days, the days of Noah. What's going on? Waited in the days of the flesh. While the ark was being prepared, God was patient, in which a few, that is even 8 souls, were saved through water. Now look at verse 21. There is also an antitype or an example which now saves us. Baptism. Baptism will save. Just like the Ark of Noah saved those 8 people. Through baptism, you shall be saved. God says he has been patient, but through there is an antitype. I don't know if you give us another word. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, that you can't do, but the answer of the good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God says you cannot do it by yourself, but if you allow him, if you do that, look, your part is to crucify the old nature and be buried. God's part is to give you the new nature. You cannot put on the new nature yourself. I have tried it. I'm telling you, I couldn't have been a pastor. I had to accept it that I can't do it. I can't do it. All I told myself is I don't like this old behavior. I don't like this old nature. I don't want it anymore. I want it to be gone for good. So when we were in the ark, we were in Christ. Do you realize that it took a change of the animals? If the animals were not changed, lion could not have been there with the deer. Mice will not be there with the cats. There was a certain subdued nature on them by God himself. When you enter Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can, if you are a cat, you will not be following mice. If you are a pornographer, whatever it is, you will be as amazed when you surrender to the Lord through baptism. And let the symbol not just be a symbol, but identify with it. Amen. And see, like the ark, things were calm. I'm not an easy person to deal with, generally, but Christ has calmed me down. Amen. And my family, they take girls by dozens. How can I stick with just one woman? Yeah, how can I? It is the Lord. He will do the same thing for you. Christians, the new man is coming through baptism, and understand it and believe it. Something supernatural is going to happen this Saturday. For anybody who will come in, anybody who is not sure of your baptism, there is nothing wrong with doing it again. I did it. Just come with some shorts. Something that will cover your breast enough so that it doesn't put traces on our memories. And just be around. Believe me. Believe me. As you go down and you come up, unless the word of God is not true, or unless you have not really surrendered your body, Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I from that point. But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The same faith will save you, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Holy Spirit will help you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what difficulties. I don't know what Christian activity you can do. You can't pray. You can't do anything. But I pray for you that as you hear this message and identify with it and crucify the old nature and bury it, you'll be surprised at the exploits that God will do through you. I see your new life coming. I see your new life coming. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. I can't wait. I can't wait for Saturday. I'm going to enjoy the meat. I'm going to enjoy the games. I'm going to enjoy the barbecue. I'm going to enjoy the video games and board games, whatever may come. I'm going to enjoy the love and the relationship. And I'm going to get to know more of some of you. But more importantly, my greatest expectation is that spiritual flow that is going to come. Somebody's heart is prepared. Put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, use me, touch me, make a difference in my life as I await in expectation. If I was you, I'd be praying towards that day. If I was you, I'll be praying. You know, not only is it an important thing for the unbelievers, but for the believers, as you see that thing happening, it must remind you of the power of regeneration that is in your life. From today, you will never live by yourself, but you live by the power of he who loved you and gave himself for you. Pray. Put your hand on your heart. Oh Lord, touch me. Jesus. Jesus, touch your people. Make a difference. Transform us where we were struggling. Give us insight.
Give us your power. Change us. We are committed. We are committed to be disciples. Disciple us, oh God. Disciple us anew. Disciple us afresh. We are tired of the old nature and the struggles. Send your Holy Spirit to give us the resurrected new man. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless your people. Now, if you're here, Acts chapter 2, Bible says, I believe it's verse 38. He told them, said, brethren, what shall we do now that we've heard the word? He said, repent, be baptized. And each of you, says Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Father for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.